from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Saul Gonzalez. California Governor Gavin Newsom says two more car companies are ready to work with the state to boost vehicle fuel efficiency standards to about 50 miles per gallon by the year 2026. One car company is Mercedes, but Newsom won't identify the other one. The deals are seen as a rebuke to the Trump administration's goal of rolling back national mileage standards. Newsom talked about vehicle emissions at a conference about the environment at Lake Tahoe, where he and elected officials from both California and Nevada discussed their efforts to fight wildfires in the Sierra. Like in many wilderness areas, forests in the Tahoe Basin are overgrown. The area also gets a lot of tourists, and more people means more chances to start fires. Nevada Senator Catherine Cortez Masto said the Forest Service expects to get more federal funding specifically for fighting fires in 2020.
So what we have done is we've put over $2 billion into a separate account now that starts in the year 2020 for the Forest Service as well as the Interior to tap into now for fire.
Both Nevada and California ramped up forest thinning in recent months. This despite record amounts of snow and after a government shutdown, which halted prescribed burns in the Tahoe Basin for 35 days this past winter. Now to the Central Valley. Federal and state officials say illegal marijuana grows on California's public lands pose a danger not only to the environment, but to consumers. KQED's Alex Hall has more from Fresno.
Illegal grows, many of which have ties to Mexican drug cartels and California's forests, are nothing new. What is new is the increased use of highly toxic and illegal pesticides like carbofuran. U.S. Attorney McGregor Scott says the illegal crop is unregulated and therefore untested.
So the end product that is being consumed by marijuana smokers in all likelihood contains carbofuran.
The reason there are so many grow operations deep in the forest is because the idea of grown in California is so marketable. And Mexican drug traffickers know that, Scott says. Most of the marijuana that could be contaminated won't be consumed here, though. Instead, it will likely end up in places such as
Chicago, New York, Atlanta, Miami, Houston. We are the source nation for marijuana in the United States of America. So it's all black market. So there's no testing that's being done on that marijuana.
So far, officials have eradicated more than 300,000 plants from illegal grow sites in the state's forests this year. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
And let's stay in the Central Valley. Longtime union activist Dolores Huerta and two others were arrested while protesting at a Fresno County Supervisors meeting yesterday. As KVPR's Laura Satsui reports, the 89-year-old who helped establish the UFW with Cesar Chavez was calling for higher wages for in-home caregivers.
Huerta and five others were cited by Fresno County Sheriff's deputies for not dispersing after being ordered to do so. Huerta came to protest alongside SEIU 2015 members who represent in-home caregivers.
And they've been talking to the supervisors, doing advocacy work, and they even did a press, and they still can't get a contract.
Caregivers say they haven't seen a raise in a decade, and negotiations have gone on for the last year. Workers want the board to raise their wages from $12 to $13 an hour. For the California Report, I'm Laura Satsui in Fresno.
Earlier this month in San Diego County, three people were killed when part of a coastal bluff collapsed. The collapse renewed attention on the safety of California's coastline. Scientists say the erosion of bluffs and cliffs on the coast is accelerating because of sea level rise caused by climate change. But there are other culprits as well. I went to the site of another recent bluff collapse in San Diego to talk to Adam Young. He's a coastal researcher with the Scripps Institution of Oceanography.
We're a few miles north of La Jolla, just a really stunning stretch of Southern California coastline. It's a beautiful day. And what are we looking at when it comes to this cliff face?
So this is a large landslide that occurred last winter. It occurred in two different sections and a lot of the material is still sitting here on the beach. This is a fairly big one. This was probably the biggest one that happened in Del Mar this last winter.
Beyond this particular slide, what's happening here? I mean, we've heard the news recently of the recent slides and, of course, the people who were killed in them. But when you step back from that incident, explain what's happening along this stretch of the Southern California coastline.
Well, over time, we've had a lot of our sand sources have been reduced. So we have damming in our watershed. We also have urbanization, and that's reduced about 60% of the upland watershed from able to provide sand to our beaches. At the same time, we've put up seawalls and segregated a lot of cliffs from the beaches as well, and some of those areas are no longer able to provide sand. So we've eliminated a lot of the sand sources, particularly here in North County, San Diego, and that's caused our beaches to be fairly narrow and subject to allow the waves to erode our coastal cliffs.
What do we do about it in the short to midterm, if anything?
Basically, as long as the waves continue to erode the cliffs, we're going to continue to have problems. So a couple ways to stop waves from hitting the cliffs, so you can make, you know, add sand to the beaches and maintain a wide beach to prevent waves from hitting cliffs. And the beaches are sort of our primary natural buffer to the cliff erosion. The other thing you can do is you can use engineering solutions such as putting up seawalls or trying to stop wave action off the coast using breakwaters or those types of things.
So if you look at this beautiful stretch of coast and everything that's been constructed on it 50 years out, 75 years out, what concerns you?
Well, we have a lot of infrastructure on top of the coastline. We have major highways, we have railways, we have residential structures, we have universities, we have power plants, wastewater facilities. All these things are going to be threatened in the future, and planning and how to adapt to, you know, future changes is going to be very difficult.
Just one other question about this particular location, this part of the coast that's already collapsed. There's a big, you know, there's a big piece jutting out at the top about 50, 60 feet up. Is that dangerous?
It's a steep cliff, you know, and that's unstable material. I probably wouldn't sit at the bottom of this cliff right here.
Again, that was coastal erosion expert Adam Young. If you want to see photos of that bluff collapse in the community of Del Mar and others, I've posted some on my Twitter feed, @SaulKQED. Let's turn to transportation now. If you use Lyft to get around, you might have heard your driver complain about the company's new surge pricing formula. It's called Personal Power Zones, and some drivers say it's eating into what they earn. KQED's Sonia Hudson reports.
What does driver Lauren Swigger of North Oakland think about personal power zones?
We actually jokingly call them personal poverty zones.
Swigger started driving 5 years ago and joined a group called Gig Workers Rising earlier this year, advocating for changes in how Lyft treats its drivers.
They don't want to pay us more. Their bottom line is to pay us less.
Personal power zones are essentially a different way to calculate how much of a bonus drivers make during really busy times in really busy areas. Before, drivers made bonuses as a percentage, say 75% more than they would on a regular ride. With personal power zones, Swigger gets a flat rate bonus instead. Say Swigger gets a $30 ride to San Francisco. Instead of earning a 40% bonus, or $12, she'd make whatever the bonus was in the personal power zone where she picked up the ride.
Sometimes it maxes out at $4. So $4 instead of $12 is obviously a ridiculous incentive.
The company argues more drivers are getting some kind of bonus, and that personal power zones were designed to be more predictable, stable, and equitable. But Swigger says the new system is costing her. She's seen her earnings drop about 50% over the past 5 years.
So to come up with all these creative ways to pay us even less and then call it an improvement,
pretty insulting.
Lyft says on average, driver earnings across the country have increased over the last 2 years. It's worth noting, Uber pays bonuses through a combination of a percentage and a flat rate. So let's try to break down personal power zones. Who's winning from Lyft's new bonus formula? I asked Tom White. He follows Lyft for the financial services company D.A. Davidson. He says this new formula, along with other payment formula changes,
generally resulted in drivers seeing their payouts reduced.
How does he figure that? Lyft takes a percentage of every car fare, and it takes 100% of every fee for a scooter or bike rental. But White says scooters and bikes are still a negligible part of Lyft's business. And if Lyft is taking about 8% more money than it did 2 years ago from what its customers are paying, that has to be coming out of drivers' pockets. And White says that's an important step in the direction of profitability.
A couple of quarters of time has been bought, but you know, investors won't be patient forever.
You might ask why profitability matters to Lyft, which lost more than $900 million just last year. But the company went public this year, and White says Lyft is keen to demonstrate to shareholders it does have a plan to become profitable eventually. The question is whether drivers will be willing to stay on that journey with them. For the California Report, I'm Sonia Hudson.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, providing customers a real-time dashboard view into all of their financial accounts with insight-driven wealth advisory services. PersonalCapital.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And the James Irvine Foundation, committed to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. Learn more at irvine.org.
And that is the California Report for Wednesday, August 21st, a production of KQED Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Have a great day, California.